You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Share the show with your friends by having them visit us online at theenglishexpress.com. You can also find us on Facebook or join our group on vk.com. All aboard the English Express.
Should probably turn my microphone on before I start talking.
I heard it helps.
I know I'm talking. I can't hear myself. So it is Halloween this weekend. Of course.
Oh, God. Bless America. I forgot.
Well, don't worry. When people actually hear this, it'll be like Wednesday, a few days after Halloween. But we're recording it before Halloween, so.
At least it'll all be over.
That's what I've been saying about the election.
Christ on a crutch.
Did you hear the big news on Friday? I mean, the whole world heard about it, I think.
They invented time travel and we all got to skip ahead?
No. The reintroduction of the FBI look into Hillary's emails.
Oh, yeah. Valerie explained why that is got way blown out of proportion and has no water whatsoever being held.
Doesn't matter whether it does or doesn't. It's the effect that it has.
You're talking about the perception of the American people, whether or not it has any bearing at all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know it has an effect.
Which is ridiculous because the way she explained it, which I haven't read anything. I'm just taking this like third hand. So you guys can tear it apart all you want. But basically the way she explained it to me was there was some look into Anthony Weiner or whatever. And yep. Since his wife is on the campaign with Hillary as her main campaign manager, he put it in a hella cryptic email like, oh, this might have an effect on her campaign or something
like that. He said that the problem is they can't really look into it very hard without a warrant, because the warrant that they had only covered Anthony Weiner. And so in order to look into Huma Aberdeen's emails, because they belong to her, they shared this computer. They had to get another warrant. But what they had read was enough to say, hey, this looks like it has a bearing on that case that we had closed, so we should reopen it. And Clinton and them are saying, like, you know, well, that's fine, but you should keep it quiet, you know, which is pretty traditional for the FBI to keep it down and not talk about it. But you know what? I'm okay with it, but I'm a Republican.
Wow. Yeah. See, I am an American, and so I really don't want Donald Trump to win, because I kind of want America to still exist in a couple of years.
I'm not a Donald Trump fan at all, but I'm concerned about the Supreme Court. I'm very... Justice Scalia was one of my favorite justices of all time.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And remember, we did a eulogy for him.
And at that time I hadn't done my research and I didn't learn what he stood for and what kind of a person he was. So now that I know that and I hear you say that, I'm like, oh, that makes me sick.
He was a conservative stalwart and a very strict constitutionalist, and I liked that. And I liked the way he interpreted the Constitution, and he wasn't perfect. Nobody is, but you know, I liked him, and I don't want to see the court go liberal for the next 20 to 30 years.
Well, and me personally, I like the ability to own weapons and discharge those weapons at my leisure in a safe manner. You know, like these are things I like to do as an American. And I feel like if Hillary Clinton gets elected, she will appoint Supreme Court justices that will withhold those rights from me, that will try and take those rights away. That's my personal held belief. And so I want a Republican president for the sole purpose that gun control stays where it's at, maybe a little bit further with, you know, a little bit more detailed background checks or more universal background checks. But ultimately, I don't want a Democratic presidency at this point in time for that reason. But I don't think it'll matter if Trump gets elected, whether or not who's on the Supreme Court. Because he's, look at him. Look at what he does. Listen to what he said.
Look.
Christ.
When it comes to the Supreme Court, what I want more than anything is parity. I like the balanced Supreme Court, where you've got four liberal justices, you've got four conservative justices, and you've got one guy who can kind of swing either way. I like that balance. I've liked that for a long time. I think it's healthy for the country. I think it's healthy for discourse. And I don't want to see the court go overwhelmingly conservative any more than I want to see it overwhelmingly liberal.
So why do you agree with everyone's choice to stop President Obama from appointing a moderate justice? I mean, he was going to appoint someone who is overwhelmingly moderate.
That guy was not moderate. I don't, because that would swing the court. You need a conservative, because Scalia was a major conservative, and I want to keep that balance. And so I think that we need to have a conservative take his place. So
I mean, just for the record, I mean, I guess I'll have to do my own research and whatnot, but I think that guy was like a really well-known moderate. I think he was like a total moderate.
I don't know. I wanted somebody who was a little bit more on the conservative side to maintain that balance. That's just
I agree with you on the balance. I mean, if you have nine seats, that's the way you want it, right? In an ideal utopian world, you want four on each side and one in the middle kind of deal to sway it. But
especially when the middle is Anthony Kennedy, because Anthony Kennedy, I think, is a really well thought out kind of a intelligent man. And I really like Anthony Kennedy.
And now, in all honesty, I would rather have nine people who were that middle guy. I would want nine people who sway on the issues and choose based on logic and conscience.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, though.
I would rather have that. But it's not worth it, man.
In a dream world.
It's not worth it to get the conservative justices to build back what you were describing. And if Donald Trump is the expense that gets us there, it ain't worth it.
Well, I'm concerned that, I don't know, what if you've got a sitting president with that kind of a cloud over you? I don't think that's good either. You know what? Look, I'm a conservative. I never thought I would say this, but I would rather have Joe Biden. I would be happy with Joe Biden. If I had a choice between Biden or Trump, I'd pick Biden. I've never voted for a Democrat in my life, but I would vote for him.
I look back at the other people, the other Republican nominees who are running in the primary, and I'm like, there's three or four guys in there that I would love to have over Donald Trump. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well,
and that would solve all the problems.
If you remember, I was a Rubio guy.
Yeah, I'd like Rubio for sure.
I mean, why didn't we? You know what? There's nothing we can do about it. We're going to get one of these two clowns, and there's not a dang thing that we can do about it.
They,
you know,
do both look like child eaters. I agree.
Child eaters.
Clowns.
Oh, do I not have my, I guess I don't have my, oh, wait. I had it labeled political pile. I was looking for clowns. Oh my gosh. Let's talk about something fun. Did you know that on Halloween in 1864, Nevada became our 36th U.S. state?
Oh my gosh, party on.
What are the odds? The
most amazing conversation. So fun.
No, I really want to know, what are the odds? I'm sure they knew. I mean, it was a gamble, but with Nevada, isn't it always a gamble?
Oh my God.
You're not a big Halloween guy, are you?
No, I'm not a big Halloweeny.
If you were going to, but if you were going to give out candy, what would you give out?
Dental floss.
Come on. Dental floss?
Travel-sized bottles of Listerine.
And all of the kids will hate you.
Packages of Trident.
73% of American households are handing out chocolate, followed by lollipops, hard candy, bubble gum, and gummy candy. Almost 86% of Americans will participate in some Halloween festivities. You're not participating in anything?
Well, okay, so I don't want to get too far into it, but basically I don't agree with the celebration of Halloween. But my kids like to go out, dress in costume, and get candy. And I figure, well, they only get to live their life once, and they're only going to be of an acceptable age to do this once. So maybe I don't impose my personal beliefs on my children and let them go out and have a good time.
That's very mature of you.
Yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at, to where I guess, yes, I'm participating because of that, even though if it was just me, there's no way in Halloween that you would get me to participate.
And you're along with 80% of parents who will allow their kids to go trick-or-treating in the neighborhood.
Yeah, and we're going to travel to a different neighborhood, I think.
I did that too. I definitely did that too.
Yeah, my neighborhood's around a lot of really major streets with like businesses around, not too many neighborhoods sort of things. So we're going to go somewhere else.
Okay. Did you decorate your home?
No, we won't even. That especially I feel bad for is the people who like deck their home out and have the kids like help spread the cobwebs and hang the lights and nail in the tombstones. And then they all leave their house and go trick or treating. You know,
what? Somebody has to stay home.
And so all the kids that are walking by this huge decorated house, they all think, oh, they're going to get the full size candy bars. Look at their decorations, and no one's home. They got the kids out in some other neighborhood.
You know what those are? Those are the people who buy the, like, you know, the scary butler with the tray, and they fill it with candy. And then the first kids that come along take all the candy.
Yeah. Jerks.
Get this one. 75%, 3/4 of Americans buy candy treats for Halloween, but only 68% actually give them to kids.
Hell yeah.
They're buying, who buys Halloween candy for themselves?
That's on sale, man. That's the people, that's the people who buy candy for themselves year round, but they just get it on bulk around Halloween.
All right. How about some things that sound dirty on Halloween, but actually aren't?
I'll go with the first one.
She's a goblin. Oh. Oh, I'd like to get a little something in the sack tonight.
Wait, I don't get that one.
It's a sex joke. Something in the sack, you know, it's like...
Oh, because trick-or-treaters, they carry a sack with them.
They carry sacks. I want to get a little something in the sack tonight. All right, just...
pillowcases.
Just get on your hands and knees and bob your head.
Oh, yeah, baby.
They're talking about apples. I've got a. Oh, she's got a couple of nice pumpkins on her porch.
Maybe Jack will lantern. Oh, no, that one didn't work. That was a fail.
Well, if you just lick it, it'll last longer. And last. He scared me stiff. All right. Now, when we were kids, you went trick-or-treating, right?
Yeah,
Dressed up. I mean, everyone, when you're a kid, you go trick-or-treating. What was your favorite costume? And what are your kids going as?
So that last question was a lot easier to answer. I'm trying to remember what my costumes were. I don't remember.
Okay, let's say you had to dress up today. If you were going to participate, what would you choose?
Oh. Okay, I have a really... deviant mind that goes like okay so I like to put a lot of thought into creative stuff that I do that holds a lot of meaning that nobody would piece together or appreciate except for me, but I would like put a lot of hidden shit into my costume. So when you ask me what I would do, my wheels just start spinning. It would take me a while to give you a real answer for that. But for my kids, one of them is going as a ninja. And he's got a cool like mirror reflective mask. So you can't, it's like a two-way mirror for a visor built into his costume. And that's pretty cool. But my other son, he's been into a superhero deal. He's the younger one, been into superheroes for a good 6 or 8 months. And his hair has grown to be like 12 inches long. Wow. And so he's going to go as Thor, and he's going to put his hair back and go as Thor. He has really long blonde hair.
Okay. Well, ninjas and monsters, that kind of thing. Monsters, people who dress as monsters, appear calm, but they're actually hiding internal turmoil, and they have difficulty expressing themselves. Which, that's kind of what my son is going as. He's going as Death.
Yeah.
He loves costumes, masks, things like that. And I think that generally describes the poor boy. You know, having stuff going on inside, but... on the outside, totally appears calm.
Oh, so, I disagree with that, but okay.
Well, look, it's a generalization. How about people who dress as clowns?
Perverts.
Well, a lot of them. According to this, they're sensitive to others' emotions, self-assured, and can laugh at themselves right after they've committed murder.
I hope they can laugh at the unemployment line because they're going to spend a lot of time there.
What do you think of people dressing as witches?
Unoriginal.
You don't find them to be enchanting people?
I mean, the White Witch from Wizard of Oz, I would, yeah.
But well, they say,
all the other ones, come on.
They say that witches take control in romantic situations and they're always honest about their feelings.
Are all these witches men?
No, women. What man dresses as a witch? Now you're just weird.
What woman is honest about her feelings? Honey, is everything okay? I'm fine.
How about people who go to parties or trick-or-treating with no costume?
Don't go. Why would you ruin the mood for everybody else? If you're not going to celebrate, don't celebrate. Don't be a part of it.
Well,
unless you're taking your kids around.
According to this list, you're afraid of criticism. You're uptight and you have a hard time letting go. And underneath it all, you have an intense need to be accepted. I mean, if you can't decide on something, I mean, these are people who, like they say, they're afraid that whatever they do isn't going to be good enough. I was with you. My favorite costumes were always ones that were like very, very creative. One of my favorite costumes of all time was the OSHA approved worker. Now, do you know who OSHA is?
That's the dudes who make you wear hard hats and reflective vests on construction jobs.
The Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah, they show you pictures and you're just like covered in things. And so our father dressed me up in, like, you know, a respirator, the hard hat, the, you know, all of the, you know, big protective clothing for, and the overalls, giant gloves. And when I went out and I knocked on the doors, people were like, "What are you?" When I told them an OSHA approved worker, the two reactions I got was, "What's an OSHA approved worker?" and raucous laughter.
Yeah, the people who got it probably thought it was hilarious.
Because it was unexpected. You're like, what the heck is this kid?
That one's pretty damn good. I remember one year you put like a toilet seat around your neck and wrapped toilet paper all around you. And there was something about a toilet mummy. I couldn't remember what it was. I was really young.
I don't remember that one either. But well, we'll be back with some more Halloween stuff right after this on the English Express Radio Podcast.
Hop aboard the English Express. Choo choo, mother.
Hi, I'm Cliff from the English Express Radio Podcast. If you need help with an art or video project, we know somebody who's got the proven experience to make any project come to life. Visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist and take a look at some of her art, film, and video work and graphic design. Years of experience means she can capture your vision and produce the perfection you're looking for. So market your stuff the right way and visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist.
Hi, this is Clef.
And I'm Brandon.
From the English Express Radio Podcast. Is learning English difficult?
Yeah, I've been struggling with that for 29 years now. And that's with practicing every single day.
Well, if you're looking to seriously practice your language skills, visit englishsteps.co.uk because they've got something different. You can actually travel to England. You can live with a qualified English teacher.
He'll make you tea and crumpets.
While you speak only English all day long and completely immerse yourself in the language. You can even take part in volunteer work for charity organizations all across Leeds, thus increasing your use of English in real-life situations. They specialize in adult-only courses because learning doesn't stop when you're a teenager. Learning never stops, so don't let anything stop you from visiting www.englishsteps.co.uk and learn more about how to build your language skills.
What are you going to learn today?
I remember the last thing my grandfather said to me before he kicked the bucket. He said,
"Hey, how far do you think I can kick this bucket?"
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.
So what's your opinion of blondes?
I like them about as much as brunettes and redheads.
How about intelligence? You know the stereotype, right?
I mean, yeah, but I think it's stupid.
You don't think it's really a barometer of intelligence?
No, Clifton, I don't think that people's hair color is a barometer of their intelligence.
Of course, because you've got astronaut Karen Heiberg. I mean, you got to be smart if you're an astronaut, right? You would assume. And she's a blonde. Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling is a blonde.
I mean, Hermione had lighter colored hair, right? Or was she a brunette?
She was a redhead, dude.
I don't care. I might be thinking of Ginny.
Oh, maybe. But, whatever. But obviously, this has been something that's been completely debunked by science, and yet the stereotype is something that persists. But science has shown that blondes, natural blondes, have IQs that are equal to, and in a lot of cases higher, than people who have dark or red hair, according to researchers from Ohio State University. The study, led by Jay Zagorski, the team that examined data from nearly 10,000 white American baby boomers who took IQ tests. And the results are women who have natural blonde hair, 103, brown hair, 102, red hair, 101, black hair are the dumbest at an average of 100.
Wow, that's not a really big point margin there, is it?
No, but I mean, it's an average, so you obviously can't claim that blondes are overly stupider when clearly that's not the case.
And I never really understood where that even came from. That's just something that's always been around, you know, as long as I've ever been on this earth. Where do people get the idea that just because you have lighter colored hair, you're somehow an idiot who can't form coherent sentences, you know?
I have no idea. And it's even more interesting than that, they found that there is absolutely no genetic link between hair color and intelligence. But one of their theories about why blondes average higher is when compared to people of other hair colors, blondes were more likely to grow up in homes with more reading material. So the takeaway, dumb blonde jokes may seem harmless, but it's a cruel attitude that could have serious psychological consequences.
Nah, see, I think the reason the blondes scored higher is because of the blonde jokes. Hear me out. I think that because of the lifelong criticism about how stupid they worked extra hard at reading as much as they could and working as hard as they could in school. And so it was actually the blonde jokes that in fact made them smarter.
Did you hear about the two blondes that fell down a hole? One said, "It's dark in here, isn't it?" The other replied, "I don't know, I can't see." There was a man driving a car with his blonde girlfriend. He asked her to stick her head out the window and see if the blinker was working. She stuck her head out and said, "Yes, no, yes, no." Blonde goes to the appliance store and found a bargain. "I'd like to buy this television," she told the salesman. "I'm sorry, we don't sell to blondes," he replied. The blonde was very angry and hurried home and dyed her hair. Then she came back and again told the salesman, "I want to buy this TV." "Sorry, we don't sell to blondes," he replied again. The blonde just didn't understand how the salesman had recognized her, and she was still angry, so she wanted to get her bargain so bad. So she went home and got a new haircut, a whole new hair color, a new outfit, big sunglasses, and a hat. Then she waited a few days before she went back to the same salesman. "I really would like to buy this television," she said. "I'm sorry, we don't sell to blondes," he replied. Frustrated, she shouted, "How on earth do you know I'm a blonde?" "Because that's a microwave," he replied.
Oh, no.
All right.
Salesman is an idiot. You take that money.
All right,
sell
one more.
Two.
One more. A blonde was down on her luck and desperately in debt. So in her desperation, she decided to kidnap a child and hold him for ransom. So she goes to a playground and grabbed the first child she saw who was on his own. She took him behind a tree and told him, "I've kidnapped you." Then she wrote a note saying, "I kidnapped your kid. Tomorrow morning, put $10,000 in a paper bag and put it under the oak tree next to the slide on the south side of the playground. Signed, a blonde." Then the blonde taped the note to the kid's shirt and sent him home to show it to his parents.
Wah, wah.
The next morning, the blonde checked, and sure enough, a paper bag was sitting beneath the oak tree with $10,000 in it. There was a note attached that said, "How could you do this to a fellow blonde?"
Oh my god.
You thought that was the end of the joke, didn't you?
I did. I was like, well, that was stupid.
But there was more. All right, last one here. Blind guy walks into a bar, makes his way, and orders a drink. After sitting there for a while, he yells to the bartender, "Hey, barkeep, you want to hear a blonde joke?" Immediately, the bar falls quiet. In a deep, husky voice, the woman next to him says, "Before you tell that joke, sir, I think it's only fair you should know a few things. First, that bartender's a blonde girl with a baseball bat. Number two, the bouncer's a blonde girl. I'm a 6-foot-tall, 175 blonde woman with a black belt in karate. The woman sitting next to me is a blonde and a professional weightlifter. And number five, the lady just to your right is a blonde who's a professional wrestler." She concludes by asking, "Now, think about it seriously, mister. You still want to tell that joke?" The man thinks for a minute, shakes his head, says, "Nah, not if I have to explain it five times."
I just love that you told the story about how there's no merit to the hair color and intelligence followed by blonde jokes.
Well, I mean, what else is there? Oh my gosh. That was the whole reason I told that story, so I could do blonde jokes.
It's perfect.
All right. Do you like scary movies?
Nah, not really. No.
Do you ever watch them?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen quite a few of them, but I mean, ultimately, they're just pretty stupid.
What are the scariest movies?
The ones that are really suspenseful, the ones that take hours to build up and have like really creepy unknown, like things are happening far away and you don't know what the cause of them are. It's ugh.
And that is exactly the advice of Delilah Conzett, assistant professor of English at UNH, which I don't know where the heck that is. I'd have to look it up. But she says, watch classic horror movies like Psycho or Jaws. A new cinematic studies says that these films are scarier than blood and gore flicks because they engage your imagination and create suspense. I totally agree. I can't even stand watching the movies that people just get cut up and stuff that's terrible.
Well, there's with the advancements of computer generated art, they're basically creating monster movies where you can see the monster like the whole time, right? And once you see it on film enough, you don't get scared of it, right? But when it's like a dark corridor and it's like a door shuts, but you're the only one in the house, like that feeling of what the hell, that's truly scary. But if you're watching a ghost movie where it's a dude fighting a ghost for an hour and a half, it's much less scary to know your enemy, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree. That's why I love those movies that really get into like fears of the unknown. That's what was so scary about Jaws, because you didn't even get to see the shark for a while, unlike Sharknado.
By the way, did you hear that was a change on Jaws? They originally wanted it to have the shark like throughout the whole movie,
but it was too expensive and tough with the animatronics, right?
No, they had built the shark that they showed in the end of the movie, and they had the shark built, but it just looked like a rubber piece of crap. It didn't look good. And so they were like, well, we can't use this hunk of garbage. So they wrote it so that the shark never shows up until the end.
And it made for a better movie. So.
It did. It would have made the movie worse had you seen the shark the whole time.
Absolutely. So pick those kind of movies. Well, thanks for joining us this week. That is our show. We'll see you guys next time here on the English Express Radio Podcast. Email us info@theenglishexpress.com. See you guys next week.
Knock, knock. Who's there? too.
To who?
It's to whom, you illiterate fool.
You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast.